There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's go! This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, so Lombardi Line with Wild Card Weekend floating on the horizon. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi hanging out in Jersey. How are we feeling, man? We've got, what, two on Saturday, three on Sunday, and then we cap it off on Monday. Can't wait. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Patrick. I'm doing really well. Good to start of the week. I'm excited for the games, excited for the nice weekend. It's going to be, we're having the polar vortex, although I don't have to tell you about weather. So it'll be good to sit inside the house, watch a lot of football, enjoy the game, and see some of these chess matches as they unfold and the rematches. I mean, there's a lot of rematch games, and I think that that's going to make the quality of play as we move forward even better.
Yeah, it is going to be brutal on Saturday in Buffalo. What's it like right now right there on the island?
It's mild. You know, we're in the mid-40s today, so it's not too bad. But we're expecting this really cold front to come through that's starting out west and moving. And it's going to just Buffalo, I looked this morning, I think the high is going to be, I think the temperature at kickoff is going to be 4 degrees, which brought me back to the, you know, thinking about the Ice Bowl and the Freezer Bowl in Cincinnati. Remember that in 82? Mm-hmm. That was like minus 20 degrees in Cincinnati, and the San Diego Chargers had to face that element. There were only 40,000. You know what's funny? When I went back and looked, there was only 40,000 people in the stands. Every time you watch the Ice Bowl, it's remarkable that many Packer fans showed up for the game that day.
It really is.
It's a tribute to endure that horrendous. It must have been a lot of bourbon in that stadium.
to keep you warm and insulated. I always think when I think cold as well, we obviously think of Eli and Green Bay. For some reason, I think of Kaepernick and Green Bay as well. Remember that game as well where we had the no sleeves. But I go back to the Silverdome, the Bengals 49ers Super Bowl. Remember, that was like logistically a nightmare. They were dealing with huge storms. Yeah. There's always the elements come into play is where we're at right now.
No doubt. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers-Seattle Super Bowl that was back in the Detroit on Ford Field. I mean, there was snow that entire week. It was brutal in Detroit. Hard to get around, see people, kind of do the things you wanted to do. So it was challenging. And you know, I mean, thankfully they played it indoors. But as we continue to go along, as the season becomes longer and longer, as we're seeing now, weather will be a factor in these games. Unless, you know, and it's funny, Buffalo's team is more built for indoors than they are outdoors.
That is absolutely true. So 2-3-1, that's the layout. 2 Saturday, 3 Sunday, 1 up on Monday night. All home teams are the favorites here. It's interesting, some familiarity as well, Michael. 5 of the 6 are rematches, and 2, this will be the third time because they're divisional rematches. So we do have familiarity. Is this your favorite weekend? Many say the next weekend is their favorite. Mine is by far this. Everything matters. Yeah. You're getting the teams that matter. This is, to me, the best.
Yeah. And I think it's the fact that this is the most dangerous round to get upset in. Yeah. I mean, we had Steve Mackinnon on yesterday, and I think the Dogs are 11-4 against the spread in this matchup. I mean, this is maybe the one area where there can be some kind of pliability within the lines, and some of these teams upset some of the other ones that you're not expecting. I mean, let's just start off with the Raider game and the opening game. I mean, when you really go back, and I did yesterday, and study the tape of the first game, you know, the Raiders had that thing close, and they just couldn't convert third downs. They were 1-for-10 in the game on third down, and then in the fourth quarter, the game slipped away from them. And fortunately for Cincinnati, they made 3 field goals of over 50 yards in that game before they scored the touchdown, which really helped, which really kind of kept them. If they turned the ball over any one of those times, it could have been a disaster. So, you know, Waller played well. But they weren't able to really make explosive plays down the field. The Bengals did a good job of creating some problems for them. And then Carr throws the fourth quarter interception, which killed them.
And you mentioned it, Michael, as far as this is ripe for dogs, that being the postseason. Just last year in general, 8-5 ATS through the Super Bowl. Remember the dog winning the Super Bowl. But let's go wild card round in specific, as you mentioned with Mackinnon. How about the last 5 years? The dogs over the last 5 years, this coming weekend, 15-7 ATS and 10-12 outright as far as the record. So, again, the under and dogs have been cashing over the last 5-plus in the wild card round. And I don't know if you have a specific reason for it, but that's what's happening.
Well, I think there's a lot of parity in the league. And you know, for example, you know, injury here, COVID bad test here could really change the whole tenor of your team. And and I think that some of these, you know, some of these, just because you're playing at home doesn't think you're just going to dominate the game, right? And so I think to me there's the evenness of the games and, you know, the fact that you have an opportunity in the fourth quarter to maybe some of these teams can change and go over. I mean, I think the Raiders will play well. I think the Raiders will do everything in their – I think they'll – I mean, if you watch the game, they threw the ball on the Bengals. He throws the bad interception to Eli Apple late in the fourth quarter. They moved the ball, but they ran the football effectively. And the Bengals had a really hard time blocking the Raiders' front in that game. But once Burrow, I thought they did a good job of going empty, spreading everybody out, forcing the Raiders to play some kind of zone man concepts, and got some quick throws so that Burrow can get the ball out of his hand.
It speaks to, and I got to give credit to my neighbor. He just kept on harping on me yesterday when he got me in a conversation. He kept on saying, we got to pressure Burrow. And he's not wrong, because it speaks to Burrow's brilliance this year, Michael, as far as he was sacked a league high 51 times. Sometimes you can blame some of that on the quarterback, but he's behind an offensive line by whatever metric you want to look at. They're just terrible pass blocking. So you've got edges in Ngakoue and Crosby. That is going to be key here for the Raiders.
Right. And I think what they have to do is they have to spread them out, and they've got to be able to get the ball out quickly, much like we saw Alabama do against Georgia in the first game. Right. Get it out quick. Utilize their passing game. Burrow only threw the ball 29 times in the last game, you know, and they really didn't get the ball to Chase much. Chase only had 3 catches for 32 yards. He had the touchdown pass when Abram was playing cover 2 in the back corner of the end zone and couldn't get there. So this is a little different Cincinnati team in the terms of their throwing the ball up the field. Higgins only had 2 catches for 15 yards in that game, too. So, you know, and I thought really what happened to the Raiders was their inability to really convert those third downs. They were 1-for-7 in the game on third down, and they couldn't, in this way, they didn't control the football. They only ran 47 plays in the game. They averaged 5.9 yards a play. The problem was the Bengals held it for 70 plays. So, you know, if they can balance that up, and then here was the other key to the game, was the Raiders had 7 penalties for 77 yards in that game. The Bengals had 1 penalty for 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. I mean, that was the complete difference. I mean, they got penalized, and it really hurt them. And if that happens again in Cincinnati this week, I don't think Cincinnati's a tough venue to play in.
I agree.
I think Cincinnati's a tough team to play.
That's early on Saturday, Michael. Vegas at Cincy. Number open 6. It's down to 5 at a bunch of books, 5.5 at others. What you'll notice of the 6 games, we haven't seen the favorite jump, right? So whether it's coming to the dog or frozen, that's pretty much where these numbers sit. Like, you look at Cincinnati, that's coming to Vegas. You look at New England and Buffalo, that open 4, pretty much 4, it's frozen. So, and it's kind of similar to the weather. It's those two games on Saturday are going to be frozen.
And there's no juice on either, on any of the numbers.
Everything's
right?
110.
There's no juice. Everything's 110 across the board.
Yep.
You know, I see a 3.5 on an offshore book for New England, but mostly it's off 4s. I see the Chief game moving a little bit. There's some 13s out there, mostly 12.5s. But again, I think it's pretty even. I think, again, today, this is Thursday. we're all collecting data. There's no sense in running. A lot of tickets in the game so far. So these are going to be extremely high bet games, especially the Saturday ones as we start off. But there's no need to run out and grab a number.
Yeah, and in Cincinnati, as you mentioned, not necessarily a home field advantage. We're going to put – these are Midwestern folks, so – there's some good stock there. They're going to be hanging out in below freezing temps, 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. I guess neither of those would really matter individually because you're not really, the wind is, if it gets above 10, 15, sometimes, you know, Josh has his systems. But I don't think it's going to be crazy. Where it's going to be crazy is in Buffalo, where it's going to be just beyond cold, below wind chill below zero. So there, that is, you can kind of talk about the discernment there as far as how cold actually starts to matter.
Yeah. Well, it affects field goal kicking, right? It's hard to kick that ball that's so cold, right? It's hard to do that. It's hard to catch it. I mean, one thing I think we've seen with Josh Allen in cold weather has his inability to take something off the ball. He makes it hard to catch. You know, when Boomer Esiason was playing at the Bengals, he had a great receiver named Eddie Brown. Eddie Brown was fabulous. In fact, at the 49ers, we wanted to draft him before the great Jerry Rice. And if Eddie Brown would have gone to the 49ers, he would have been sensational too, because he was great for the Bengals. But that being said, Eddie Brown had stitches in almost all of his areas inside his fingers because of how hard Boomer threw the ball in that cold weather. This hard ball to catch. Now they wear more gloves now and all that, but it's a hard, sometimes you got to take your foot off the gas a little bit in this cold, cold weather and try to give the receivers a chance to catch a catchable ball.
Eddie Brown, Miami, right? What happened? Did he come out of Miami? I'm trying to think. Eddie Brown?
Went to the University of Miami.
Okay.
Went to the University of Miami, was an option quarterback at Miami High School. And then he went to Miami, went to junior college, Tyler Junior College. Then he transferred back with Howard Schnellenberger. He was sensational. Think of Julian Edelman with probably more power in his game, but explosively quick. I mean, really a talented, talented player. Fun to watch. Fun, fun, fun.
He ended up with a pretty good player, though, I think.
The consolation prize was pretty good
for you.
And, you know, it was one of those we'll take, you know, we liked all three of them, with Altoon, Jerry, and Eddie. He was going to take either one that made it to him.
Those are three great players. You nailed it. Okay, let's see when we come back if Michael's got a nugget. I've got odds on all the coaching openings, okay? Matt Santos has done a good job with this. Who has Michael been texting with? We're going to put him on the spot. He doesn't have to give me names, but I guarantee he's hearing something. We're coming back here at Lombardi Line.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Football season, of course, is here. We've got the postseason coming up. BetMGM Sports is Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options. Go in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring that state-issued ID here in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. And, of course, you got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. The calm before the storm, I guess, in a multitude of ways, as they've got some inclement weather. Man, you guys have been getting pounded. I mean, you go back a couple of weeks. You remember the guy hanging up trying to take down the Christmas lights with the blizzard coming into town?
Yeah, you got, we had the city of Ocean City's out there changing, taking down the Christmas decorations. Meanwhile, we're getting blizzard conditions. I mean, only here. But we're usually not, you know, we're right on the Atlantic, so we're not used to these storms. Usually are way more inland, but when they do come up from the south along the coastline, that's when we get hammered, and we've been hammered this year. It's not like we're not used to snow, like people can't. It's just that we're not, you know, not used to a lot of snow. Usually it comes and goes.
So a few weeks back, and it was right after, maybe a couple of weeks back now, it was right after the bizarre 11-minute rant from Joe Judge. I texted you because something that we put out here at VSiN Live went crazy viral, and it was you discussing what the Giants need to do. Honestly, I want to give you credit because I think you had an impact on the Maras and Tishes because it was a reserved conversation. You have to start. You have to think about what's happening from within. The Maras and Tishes have to take a look. They did. Gettleman moves on. They had the meetings with Judge, and then the following day they let him go. You mentioned at M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter, this really comes down to logistics here. You can't bring in a GM and expect him to have some sort of authority if you're going to keep Judge around and say you're expected to work with him if you're the Maras.
Well, I think the master plan with Gettleman's exit, assuming the season didn't create a Titanic-like disaster, was to get Gettleman to retire, bring in Monty Ossendorf, the personnel director, assistant GM in Tennessee, who was in New England with Judge and us and all of us, a wonderful man, and let him kind of run the personnel department. That was, I think, the original plan. But once things started to unravel, once things started to fall apart, there was no way you could salvage that plan. And now they have a more challenging question because Kevin Abrams, their cap guy, who was rumored to be up for the GM job, as this whole thing unraveled, Mara now needs to look from the outside to bring someone in, which eliminates Abrams from the job, which then needs Abrams really can't stay because, you know, he's going to be sitting there, oh, I'm angry, I didn't get the job. You know, there's a lot of that goes on. So they're still with an internal strife within their building that they've got to clear out. But they took the first step, and they were able to move forward. I think think this as sincerely as possible. Joe, he had to take the Giant job. He wasn't ready for the Giant job. He wasn't prepared for the Giant job. He should have been the head coach at Mississippi State, which is where he was headed before the Giant interview. And so, to me, this is on John Mara. Why would you rush to hire the guy at Mississippi State's going to hire when take some time and take a step back? Now, they've got to rebuild the organization and repair it with very little cap room. What do you see next year when their cap gets lowered by 5, 6, 7, 8 million because of the incentives that the players earned on a bad team?
Now, Michael, I have odds, BetMGM, and you and Dave might have gone over these, so pardon me. I want to follow up on a couple things.
One, well, it's a new show, Patrick. We can do them again. It's okay.
But I apologize. Dayball, Peterson, and Flores. The reason I bring it up is because betting on, I think Mara is going to take this very differently, a different approach, because remember, Gettleman was a Giant. I mean, he went to Carolina, but there was Giant ties. This feels like it's going to be exhaustive. There, you know, ties to the organization aren't going to matter.
He has to do it that way, or else he's going to lose credibility with his fan base. Remember, his fan base has had enough. This is the lowest point. Even he admitted it's the lowest point that they've ever felt in their history of the organization. I've been pointing it out. So I think he's going to take some time. I think he's got a challenging job ahead of him. I don't know if there's a favorite. I think the GM is going to – I talked to an agent yesterday in the league who has coaches, and he said, I don't know who's going to get this job because I think a lot of it is going to be dependent upon who is the GM. Now, I know Brian Flores would love to be the Giant head coach. I think he would love to do that. I think he's the betting favorite in Chicago. But I think that Brian, part of this whole thing with Chicago and New York, pretty much too in Minnesota, is what GM will link to what coach. What GM will link to what coach.
Right.
And that's going to be the marriage that's going to be. Does Flores go in there if they hire somebody that he's comfortable with? And I think that's going to be the key. So it's going to take some time before we see that actually come full circle.
Yeah, and he's a big-time favorite at plus 160, Leslie Frazier at 5-1, your second-betting favorite. All of this comes down to how the structure is built, right? So in Chicago, it's the family, how they decide they want to structure this. Is Flores going to come in and say he then has say in who's going to be the GM, or is it the opposite, the GM decides on Flores? That's really what it comes down to, right?
I think it really is, and I think that, you know, you got Bill Polian in there running the search, and George McCaskey is listening to Polian, which will lean him down a Polian road, which I don't know what that is or what that does now. I mean, Bill hasn't, you know, I'm sure Bill's kept on top of the game, and he knows all these guys. But I think this job in Chicago, I think what I think the media doesn't really understand is these jobs that you're interviewing for, some of these jobs are not about who can pick the best players, who has a plan to build the best team. Two different things, way different. Chicago needs a team designer. They need a builder. They don't need somebody to come in who's going to scout at Mankato State in the middle of October. They need somebody who's going to come in and coach the coaches, who's going to help the head coach, who's going to partner with the head coach, who's going to understand player development, who's going to understand pro personnel, college personnel, how to unify all those departments together, how to get maximized the practice squad, how to get all this working within symmetry and everybody on the same page. I think there's a lot of the candidates that this job's way bigger than that.
Do you think that sometimes it's just even a little bit more simplistic for the Giants in particular? Isn't Mara and that family going to say the general manager and the head coach, we've got two more years of Jones or a year or two of Jones. We need to figure out if this is our future. Same thing in Chicago with Fields. Like, there is a development that comes along with the next hire.
Right, but the problem is in most of these interviews, you may not get the job. You're not going to get the job in Miami if you go in there screaming that Tua stinks. You're not going to get the job.
Isn't that why Flores lost his job?
Exactly. I mean, you're not going to get the job if you come screaming into Chicago and saying, look, I'm worried about Justin Fields. Now, what you could say is, look, if I interview and I say, look, I don't know about Justin Fields. What I do know is it takes 20 more games to evaluate a quarterback. At least 20 or more. I would say this, just on the brief evaluation period and sample size we have, I think he needs to be under center. I think he needs to be in a Kevin Stefanski / Kyle Shanahan style of offense, a lot of play action to utilize and separate the defense. That's what I see right now. Do I think he can grow further? That I don't have an answer for.
It does feel like your man that went out to Saban rehab, it does feel like Bill O'Brien's the leader in the clubhouse for Jacksonville right now.
Well, Brian's the leader in the clubhouse because that's what the general manager, Trent Baalke, wants, because I think they feel like, the two of them feel like, and I don't know if this, I haven't talked to Billy, so I don't know, but I think the two of them feel like they can get along and coexist. Billy's a volatile, emotional, high energy, strong, you know, and Baalke, look, you know, I said Baalke's got a lot of coaches up on Boot Hill. You know, Harbaugh, he's on Boot Hill. The, you know, Jim Tomasula, he's right there.
Chip Kelly.
You got Chip Kelly right there, and then you got Doug Marrone. I mean Trent, for all that he can, has had a reputation for coaches go once he gets there.
Well, I can assure you, if Bill O'Brien gets a job, you're going to get a text that says, I got the effing job. That's what it's going to be. And listen, you and I have exhausted this, but he won nonstop with the Texans without quarterbacks. Maybe that's what Baalke looks and sees Bill O'Brien and says, he can develop this quarterback. He's developed lesser quarterbacks.
Look, I mean, he did a good job in Houston. Say whatever you want about him. He
yes.
did a good job. He wasn't a good general manager. Separate the two. He was a disaster as a GM. I mean, I don't even think he wanted to draft Deshaun Watson, frankly. I think he wasn't excited about that. But then once he got him, he coached him and made him a really good player. But once he got control of the franchise away from Rick Smith, it became a real problem.
What's the vibe there in Philly as they head into this matchup with the Bucks, which I want to come back and discuss? Is there bullishness?
Oh, vibe? I mean, it's
the money line.
Are you kidding me?
Money line vibes.
Money line. We're ready to go. I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but we're ready to go.
Yeah, they're practical about it. Of course, it's going to be hard. It's defending champs.
Weather's a little concerned. It's going to be rainy, but they're ready to go.
Second biggest number on the board, of course, Kansas City's laying 12.5 hosting Pittsburgh. Next, we'll come back and discuss Philly at Tampa. It's 8.5. That hasn't moved. As Michael mentioned, that standard vigorish of 110, that's what it is right there in Tampa. 8.5, 110, up and down with Philly in town. We'll come back and discuss next here in Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, you like football, you like college hoops, combine them. Big game, big dance. It's a special right now through April 5th. So you get everything we offer with college hoops, including the college hoops betting guide. Plus everything, you know, the postseason when it comes to the NFL, we're going to ride with you. 24/7 video access, daily best bet emails, betting splits, breakdowns of every game. It's vsin.com/bigdeal. It's only $69. vsin.com/bigdeal. Make sure you check it out. Before we get into these games, there was one thing, Michael Lombardi there, of course, in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. As we get started, I'm excited, man. This weekend's going to be fun, right? Because and one of them in particular, I think you have kind of talked me into. I get a sense you like Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know. Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. I think you like him as a person. I think you like his demeanor. And I've kind of turned into a huge Jimmy guy, and I'm pulling for San Francisco. San Francisco, of course, at Dallas on Sunday. That's the middle game. The Cowboys are laying 3. I bring it up because there's some names here. Garoppolo may not be a 49er next year. Watson may not be a Texan next year. How about Frank Reich's non-committed comments about your boy Carson Wentz? Will Carson Wentz be a Colt next year? Now, again, we can read into this, but he said, next year's roster will be next year's roster. I don't want to open up about one player and then start talking about all of them. That coincides with an odd release from the owner in Irsay, where I don't really know what he said except emulated Truman and said the buck stops here, right? But there are questions about Wentz, to say the least, with that performance in Jacksonville.
Well, I mean, Wentz's performance the entire season. I mean, when things were tough, he was bad. When things started, when they weren't being looked upon as being tough, I mean, you know, beat the Jets, beat the Jaguars, go in and beat the Bills because we run the football, and then we come home and play the Bucks, and we turn the ball over 3 times in the second half, you know, and then we get back going again. We play, you know, we beat Houston, but we beat New England. I throw for 43 yards. You know, we beat Arizona, probably my best game, and then we lose a home game to the Raiders. I mean, I don't know what people expect Frank Wright or Chris Bauer to say, oh, no, we're 100% behind Carson Wentz. I mean, they would lose the team. The team knows he didn't perform. Wentz knows he didn't perform. I mean, you're going to lose the team if you continue to lie to him and say things that aren't actually true. I mean, Wentz is no different than, you know, you named all those quarterbacks, Garoppolo, and, you know, who's available in the open market. Well, there's a bunch of these guys that are on teams that are being held in the barn as trading assets. You know, chips. Yeah. You want Wentz? Okay, here you go. Now, contract and all that stuff play into it, but I would find, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to replace Wentz. I would think they think Sam Ehlinger could do it, and they probably regret not playing Sam Ehlinger against the Raiders, but there's a concern, how strong is Ellinger's arm? Can he actually do it for 17 weeks, 18 weeks? Those are questions. You know, I think the other thing the Colts have is they have a defensive problem. I mean, they're not great on defense. You know, it kind of gets underneath the carpet because of their ability to create turnovers. But the reality of their defense is when they have to stop somebody, they struggle, you know, and they have all these great numbers, but they don't have the, you know, they gave up 32 touchdown passes, Patrick. If they got to get into a game where they got to play man-to-man, I mean, it's 32 touchdown passes. That's 2 a game.
And it looks like Eberflus is getting looks for a head coach, which surprises me a little bit here, but
Well, I mean, he's, you know, remember, whenever you feel surprised, and this is for anyone listening or watching at home, whenever you feel surprised, stop and say the NFL is about who's elected, not who's selected. That's important because all these things are about electability. All these things are about electability. It's not about, you know, Walsh said this to me in 1984, the NFL is not the best and the brightest. It isn't based on merit. It's based on electability. Can I sell this guy? See, we stood next to Sean McVay. Let's go interview him. You know, it's all that stuff. Same thing at GMs.
Very well put. So, and it's weird with Wentz. It's the drop off was steep those final eight games where he really struggled.
Horrible.
You can mask what he did in the first half of the season, but you can't mask what he did in the final half.
How many more times do Colt fans want to watch him throw the ball left-handed from the pocket and turn the damn thing over? I mean, you know, he turned it over in Tennessee. That was a loss. You know, he turned the ball over in the Rams game, the Tennessee game. I mean, all these games, the first Tennessee game. I mean, it's the Raven game. I mean, the Raven game is a perfect example. They're dominating the game. Their defense couldn't get a stop. They lose 31-35.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're Chris Ballard and you're Jim Irsay and you're the owner of the Colts, it's easy to put all the blame on Wentz. That is easy. And he certainly deserves a lot of it, right? He deserves a lot of it. However, your defense deserves some too. And until you fix that, until you become proficient at that, that you probably won't beat Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville looked like a really decent football team. I mean, this is a team that is supposed to be built on pass rush, built on creativity, built on being able to get off the field. They're 19th and third down. They're 25th in the red zone. Those aren't good numbers, Patrick.
No, Lawrence.
Not for a team.
They couldn't
not,
get
not
Lawrence
for a
off
good
the
team.
Field. They could not get him
they
off
couldn't
the
get
field.
Him off. Yeah.
And it's weird. We talked
they couldn't get Carr off the field.
No.
I mean, they could get Carr. Carr, you know, this team, the Raiders typically don't score a lot of points. I mean, that was one of the first times they scored 20 points since the pass interference game in Dallas.
Oh, well, until they took on the vaunted Brandon Staley defense.
Exactly. And then, look, the last 3 weeks of the season, this Colt defense only created two turnovers.
Not going to get it done. And they were your, as far as turnover margin, they were your leaders the whole entire year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had multiple two. You know, there's only two games all season that they didn't turn the ball over, that they didn't create a turnover. That was Arizona they won, and that was the last game of the season.
Oh, I wrote down the quote for you from Staley. He said something. Oh, here it is. Process over results. Okay, so he must be a gambler because in betting we understand this is a probability thing.
He can't be because when you're betting you want a high level of there's if you're taking chances you want a reward. My question comes back to what was the reward on getting the first down on fourth down versus what was the risk at fourth and one from your own 18? What was the reward? You got three more downs as the reward. That's all you could get, right? That you're going to get three more downs. There was no get. You weren't getting 7 points. You weren't losing three. So you, for all the people, me included, that don't like some of his decisions in the red zone, I get it. He's playing for the seven. Okay. He's shooting the three, not taking the dunk. I get it. I understand it. But when you're at your own 18, you have the potential to give away three, and the only thing you gain is three more downs.
Yep. Yes, sir. I wrote it. And I haven't had a chance. We're going to get Vinny on, so trust me, we'll get back to these games in a second. I haven't had a chance. Your big takeaways from Monday, you didn't do a show on Tuesday, so the national championship game. I loved what Saban did, and you wrote about a daily coach after the game. I loved what he did with those captains and the quarterback there.
You know, because he's so much now, he's so much a part of how I got to build a team for next season, right? I got to, these one kid, Will's leaving, you know, Bryce is staying. I've got to pump them up. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to mope around forever. And, you know, and I think you can't mope around forever. It's what we put in the Daily Coach, the seven things that Walsh says don't do after a loss. But as I told, you know, we had this conversation back and forth at the Borgata with a bunch of people that kind of talk. We talked back and forth with Thomas Gable and some of the guys who bet there. You know, the hardest thing to do is to beat a team twice once you declared how you want to play. It's a hard thing to do. And then they lose the receiver, lose Meacham, right? So now it's even harder. And I think that, you know, Georgia was fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I don't think you can take anything away from Georgia. You know, we kept saying Georgia, you know, they were 6.5-point favorites. It came down to 2.5. And this Alabama team, before the first Georgia game, we were talking about how Auburn should have beaten them. And it took 99 yards to drive to do it.
Stalling out in the red zone, too, man. They just kept on stalling out in that red zone. That's always going to kill you.
That's what happens. It always is going to situational football. That's why as much as people want to disrespect the Tennessee Titans, and you can, their numbers and all this, you know, they're 27th in yards per play. They're really good in red zone. They're really good in short yardage. They're really good in being able to put the ball in the end zone. I mean, so when you add those things, factors together, they're great in the red zone offense and defense. They're great on third down offense and defense. They play very good in all short yardage situations. Those three areas are ultimately what makes up who wins in playoff games.
And you can say whatever you want about Tennessee. They're one of two teams that are going to be chilling this week, resting, getting healthy. Yeah. That's really
because
what it comes
down to. They do the things that ultimately determine the outcome of football games really well. Allowing yards don't necessarily always do that, right? But they are very good at doing the things that ultimately, like this weekend, go through it. The teams that are bad on third down, the teams that can't convert third and short, the teams that can't make plays in critical situations in the red zone. You know, you go down there, kick field goals, you're going to lose the game.
Six games, six favorites, all home, right? You got five right now, 5.5 with Cincinnati. Buffalo, 4. Tampa, 8.5-ish. Dallas, 3. KC, 12.5. And then the Rams hosting Arizona on Monday, 4. We'll talk about those numbers and more with Vinny Maliulo next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, NBA offer over at BetMGM. $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer tonight, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSIN200 when you make your first bet. Plus, you're going to earn those M Life rewards that can be redeemed for rooms and dining at any MGM resort. BetMGM is proud to be authorized gaming partner of the NBA. You can download the app or go to BetMGM.com. It's VSIN200. Remember, any three-pointer is made regardless of the bet's outcome. You're going to get $200 paid for in free bets if you're a new bettor. Got to be 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Michael Lombardi in Jersey as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend. I'm Patrick Maher live from the VSIN studios here at the South Point. Behind me is the book at the South Point where Vinny Maliulo is usually standing, and then he comes and sits next to me. However, today he's on the phone, not feeling well. First off, I genuinely say, I hope you're feeling okay, buddy. How you doing, Vinny?
I'm good. Good, boys. A little head cold. Just playing it safe because I don't want to come in here and get sprayed down with that stuff you always carry around with you.
Yes, so. I disinfect. Pardon me. And yes, if you were here, we'd have to give you a shower of disinfectant, right?
Probably, yeah. I'd be in a bubble. So I just I said, you know what? Let me just make Patrick feel good because I didn't want to throw you off your game.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. How'd we turn out before we get to the NFL? How'd we turn out on Monday at the book here?
Oh, in the championship game. You know, it was actually we actually needed Alabama in some you know, to some extent. There was a lot of late Georgia money, particularly on the money line. And then they laid it to, and then bet Georgia also in some props and things like that. So I'd say overall, you know, just tremendous handle. I mean, I will say this about the game. Probably the highest handle we've ever had on a college football game, and I'll tell you why. Because when you think about it, guys, it tied in week 17 and 18. Oh, and by the way, these first wild card games as well. So great handle, great right, setting up a terrific handle for this week with six games spaced beautifully on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Vinny, what game this weekend is getting the most action from people that you respect?
The Raiders, Michael. We opened a game 6.5, pretty respected opinion. You know, fans will get involved, but they didn't necessarily get involved this early. But they took 6.5 and took 6 with the Raiders down to 5.5. Did take the Patriots plus 4.5. And again, we know that 3 is a key number, but 4 is also a key number in the NFL. And that's the game. And I'll tell you what, the total in the Eagles game is down 3 points. It's down to 46 at South Point. Now, when we open at 49, everybody thinks about they see Buccaneers and they talk about, high scoring games and things. But obviously, the Eagles don't want to get in a shootout with this team. Their ability to run the ball and play some good defense, I think, is certainly impacting that right now. Now, that number will probably come up. The public will bet that game over just because of Brady and the Buccaneers. But right now, that total's moved down to 46 from 49 on the opener.
Is there a correlation? Was there respected money Sunday evening on the Raiders? How did you end up there? I'm just curious if there's some carryover here with guys you respect.
Well, I think, people realize that the Raiders have been on a roll. Let's face it, guys. A month ago, the team was given up for dead. It's interesting, about a month ago when it looked like them when they had to win just about every game, they were as high as 150-1 or more in the future book. It's the one team that we've got some liability on, but that liability was there before that. There was always support for the Raiders, regional bias. It's a great Raider town, always has been, even before they came here. But to, folks looking at the game saying the way they're playing and the way they've treated these last few weeks as playoff games, maybe they've turned the corner. At some point, we'll get Bengal money. We're just trying to find that threshold right now.
You know what's funny, Vinny? You hit the nail on the head. I mean, think about this. So the Raiders are playing that Monday night game in Cleveland because Cleveland had COVID. And Nick Mullins under center. And Cleveland's winning 15-14, I think, at the time. Or, no, I'm sorry. They were winning, 15-14 at the time. And they all they need is one first down. On 3rd and 3, they run the outside zone, and it gets stuffed. All of us who are recommending taking the Browns and laying the 2 points are furious because you got to get the first down there because you can't really they have Carlson, and they can get a first down and they can kick a long field goal, and they stop them. The Browns punt. Stephen Stefanski's not the coach on the field, and after that game, the Raiders go on and win 3 straight. Now I don't know how good they are, because when you watch the games, every game there's a huge opportunity for them to lose the game, including the Colt game. But Wentz played horribly, and last week, they had a chance to, the Chargers had every chance to tie the game, but they didn't.
Yeah, Michael, it's a terrific point you bring up, and here's the thing to the Raiders' credit. They've taken advantage of every opportunity they've been given. And so, bettors are riding them right now. I mean, it's a matter of just saying, hey, look, this team is finding a way to win. Right when you think that, Carr, who's taken a lot of flack, you look at him and all of a sudden he makes a big play. They can't run the ball. Well, now all of a sudden, Jacobs starts, they make big plays. When they have to make big plays in the game, right? Jalen Richard with the run last week against the Chargers was a big run on the winning drive. So the Raiders have taken every opportunity they've been given, whether it's a opponent's the players' miscue or a coaching gaffe on the opposition. They've taken every opportunity, they've maximized it, and people are just riding their coattails right now. Now this number's. We refer to 5.5 as like a kind of a dead number. It's really not a lot of difference between 5 and 5.5. But at some point, there'll be Bengal money, but I think there's going to be a lot of support for the Raiders right up until kickoff.
And just to be clear, did you open 6 here with Cincinnati laying it, and it got bet right down?
6.5.
My goodness.
6.5. They took 6.5 and 6 at South Point. So, yeah, they took both 6 and 6.5. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same question for you on Sunday evening, Pittsburgh, KC. As Michael says, it's the team we don't want to see in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing mostly 12 and a half, so a couple of 13s. Where did you open here at the South Point? Where are you sitting now, Vinny?
Right where it opened, Patrick. I mean, we're at 12 and a half. That's where it opened. Again, this game here, these games haven't moved point spread-wise. In fact, this game is the only game that hasn't had either the point spread or the total move. But at some point, now that's going to happen. And why? Because it's game five. It's Sunday night. So everything from Saturday and Sunday is going to be going to it. And it is the Chiefs. So the likelihood, I can tell you this, the Chiefs will be in the majority of moneyline parlays, even though they're 7.5 to 1, and certainly teasers as well. So there'll be a lot of action on that game. It just hasn't it hasn't moved the number yet. But the fact that it's the Sunday night game, which will have four games before it go into it, and then it'll vault everything into Monday is going to be a tremendous game. The Cardinals-Rams game will be great. This is a great setup for business with two games Saturday, three Sunday, and one on Monday. What a setup.
And how much teaser action will you get in these games?
A lot of teaser action, Michael. I mentioned the Chiefs will be teased for sure. I think you'll get two-way teaser action in just about every other game, just the way they're actually not so much maybe in the Buccaneers. If the Buccaneer game goes up, then you'll see some pros get involved with as many points as possible with the Eagles, right? I mean, if you tease the Eagles right now at 6, you're going to get 14.5. So there'll be plenty of teaser action. And the fact that it's the playoffs, there'll be lots of it for sure.
Yeah, I don't see a ton of value in teasing Kansas City down, but have at it if you want.
Yeah,
that Monday night game, your handle is going to be just ridiculous, Vinny. I mean, first off, it's two teams that people want to see play. It's Los Angeles, close to Vegas, and there's going to be so much just riding from Saturday and Sunday into that Monday night game. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, and then again, it's a key number, right? It's sitting on 4, guys. That's where it opened. But actually, they did take a little bit of plus 75 with the Cardinals on the money line. So, but you're right. I mean, folks have really enjoyed the Rams the last couple of years. And this year, you know, the Cardinals have been a surprise to a lot of folks, and they've gotten a lot of support because they can score points. So I think the fact that it's positioned where it is, now, you could say that for just about any game, right? But when you look at it, would the Eagles-Buccaneers game get as much on Monday night? Maybe so, but not as much as this particular game. I mean, Monday night always gets that action because it's, you know, everything's tied to it. But you still have a matchup here that's going to draw even more so. And you got a number that's a lot closer, too. So the fact that the number is 4 and it's closer than, let's say, the Buccaneers or the Chiefs number, that's certainly going to spell well for business and handle, no doubt about it.
Okay. Well, I hope you feel better. That's a Georgia Bulldog head cold. He got knocked out by the Bulldogs. He hasn't recovered since.
I'll be back.
Vinny, feel you better, be buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you. That's Vinny Maliulo, of course. Legend from behind the book here at the South Point. When we come back, let's talk about that Monday night game. Plus, we got a mall and then Josh as well as we continue on a Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.